Welcome to Money Talk with MFLN Personal Finance. This podcast series offers brief recaps of our recent online professional development webinars targeted at personal finance managers and extension educators who work with military service members. I'm Molly Herndon, Program Coordinator for the Personal Finance Team, and I'm joined by Money Talk herself, Dr. Barbara O'Neill. Dr. O'Neill is a distinguished professor in the School of Environmental and Biological Sciences at Rutgers University and is the Rutgers Cooperative Extension Specialist in Financial Resource Management. Welcome. Today we're going to talk about our October 22nd webinar, Gambling Disorders, Special Considerations for Service Members, which was presented by Dr. Laureen Rugel. In today's episode of Money Talk, we'll hear Dr. Barbara O'Neill's five key takeaways from this event. You can watch the webinar recording and earn CEUs by visiting militaryfamilieslearningnetwork.org/event/22045. All right. Good morning, Barbara. How are you?
I'm doing fine, Molly.
We're going to talk about the Gambling Disorders webinar that we hosted in October, and we wanted to talk about what are the technical definitions of gambling, gambling disorder, and problem gambling.
Well, that was a big learning experience for me listening to that webinar because I didn't really know that there were so many terms related to gambling. The technical definition of gambling is where you're playing a game of chance, either for money or for some other prize, or you're taking a risk of some sort in order to gain some type of advantage. So there's actually a formal definition through Gamblers Anonymous in their handbook, and they define gambling as any betting or wagering, whether for money or not, no matter how slight or insignificant, where the outcome is uncertain or depends on chance. So basically, you don't know what's going to happen, and you're taking risks, basically. Another common definition is risking something of value, typically money, on an activity with an uncertain outcome. So those are kind of the definitions of gambling that are out there. A gambling disorder is defined according to a set of diagnostic criteria. And the term that they use for this in the profession is DSM-5. And there are 10 criteria items. And the way that they kind of type people as to the extent of their gambling disorder is if they have 4 to 5 criteria, it's considered a mild disorder, 6 to 7 criteria, a moderate disorder, and 8 to 9 criteria would be a very severe gambling disorder. And if people want to know more about that, if you just Google the word gambling disorder DSM-5, you'll get a very detailed list and a description of all the diagnostic criteria that they use for problem gambling. So problem gambling is characterized by difficulty limiting time and or money spent on gambling. And this typically has adverse consequences for the gambler. You know, maybe they start doing this on work time and they get caught by their boss and they get fired. And it could also have a lot of adverse consequences for their family members. You know, if they're spending money that should be going toward rent or food on gambling, that's a big issue.
So what are some common signs that someone has a gambling disorder?
Okay, so on the webinar, what they did is they went through the diagnostic criteria from the DSM-5, kind of that typing model that I explained before. So number one is the need to gamble with increased amounts of money to achieve a desired excitement level. So maybe 1 month you're gambling $100, next month you're going on to, you know, bigger amounts. Number two is when somebody is restless or irritable when attempting to cut down or stop gambling. So they're trying to do it, but it's making them really kind of a nervous person. Number three, they've made repeated attempts to control, cut back, or stop gambling. So people are trying, but it's not working. Number four, they're preoccupied with gambling. So maybe people are constantly thinking about their gambling experiences and where they're going to go next to gamble and all their handicapping and their online sports betting. And it's just kind of preoccupying their mind. Number five is people gambling when they feel stressed, helpless, guilty, anxious, or depressed. So gambling is kind of related to a lot of emotions. Number six, after losing money gambling, somebody goes back another day to try to get even. And they actually have a term for this in the gambling industry and among the professionals who treat gamblers. It's called chasing. So you're going back to, you know, to the same place, and you're going to try to, you know, chase your previous bets and try to recoup all the losses that you had previously. Number seven is when people start to conceal the extent of their involvement with gambling. So they're hiding it from, you know, their significant others and trying to remove any evidence, although I guess that would be kind of difficult if you're tapping out bank accounts and things like that. Number eight is you've jeopardized or lost a significant relationship, job, or opportunity because of gambling, because again, it becomes all consuming. And then the final one, number nine, is when you're relying on others to provide money to relieve desperation, you know, really desperate financial situations that are caused by gambling. So again, you're hitting up, you know, family members, or, you know, maybe even worse than that, you know, sometimes people borrow and sometimes they steal. But again, you're trying to get money any way that you can to kind of keep your bets going. So those are the common signs.
Okay. What are some statistics about gambling and service members that were shared in the webinar?
Well, this is kind of interesting. The speaker mentioned that there were over 3,000 slot machines on overseas U.S. military bases. So they're right there where service members are. But having said that, a very small percentage, and she mentioned 0.03% of service members are diagnosed with gambling disorder or are seen for problem gambling. But then she also mentioned that the screening questions for gambling disorders, you know, some of the things that I mentioned previously, are typically not used. And it was also mentioned that there really isn't any clear guidance on addressing gambling disorders in the military. So it seems to be kind of on a case-by-case basis rather than any particular set of protocols. What was mentioned as far as evidence was an Air Force study, and they looked at over 31,000 recruits, and they found that 6.2% had problem gambling, you know, again, where it's kind of affecting their lives, you know, because of the time and money that's being spent on it. 1.9% had disordered gambling, so that's where they kind of fell on that typology with all the diagnostic criteria. So it obviously exists. Another study found that U.S. veterans have been found to have elevated rates of problems with gambling compared to non-veterans, and approximately 2.2% screen positive for at-risk gambling or pathological gambling. And then other studies that were mentioned, and these were not necessarily military specific, but, you know, anybody who's gambling in general, they found links of gambling to bankruptcy, domestic violence, homelessness, and threats to other people. So there's obviously some kind of criminal element as well as the financial element.
What are some of the ways that people are screened for gambling disorders?
Well, this was another thing that was kind of interesting toward the end of the webinar. Our speaker, Dr. Lorene Rugel, kind of mentioned some of the things that they use. There were a lot of acronyms there. I mean, the first thing that she kind of let us know is that there's lots of different sets of screening questions that can be used by professionals. And they have all sorts of names. There was the NORC DSM, and there's one called Lie/Bet. And there's one called NODS and GA20 questions. So there's all these tools and sets of questions that people are using. The questions that are asked are things like, have you ever gambled as a way to escape from your personal problems? But Dr. Rugel kind of mentioned that a lot of these screens don't really work very well in clinical practice because they kind of give the illusion of addressing issues. And sometimes people have issues and they just don't come out. You know, if clients don't endorse the screen items, the counselors think that they don't have any gambling problems, and they actually might. So what she recommended instead of asking these questions that are kind of like yes, no answer types of things is to start a conversation and asking questions like, well, how do you budget for fun and recreation? What are your favorite entertainment activities? And then gambling comes into the conversation, but not necessarily in a confrontational way, but more of a conversation. And you're not seeming to be as, so authoritarian and, you know, kind of inquisitioning kinds of questions. So she mentioned more having a conversation rather than just asking a whole bunch of yes, no questions.
Right. So what are the six steps in financial planning for recovery?
Well, that was the final part of the webinar. And the six steps are, first, you got to clarify the debt. So you got to see how much you owe that's related particularly to the gambling. You got to identify the expenses that you have. That's number two. Number three would be to identify or predict your income. You know, sometimes it's a prediction. If people have variable incomes, they might not really know exactly what they're going to earn. Number four is that B word that a lot of people don't like, but it's really a part of money management, is you've got to create a budget. And ideally, if gambling is going to be part of it, you want to kind of include it. I mean, it's can't just be the elephant in the room. It's got to be something that is spoken about as an expense and as, something that you budget for, because you're going to spend it anyway. You might as well be upfront with it and try to see if you can work it into your cash flow. Then there's a debt management plan. So a client may need to speak with a credit counseling agency, get involved with the debt management program. Typically with a DMP, they will take your credit cards away while you're in the program, so you don't incur any new debt while you're paying off your existing debt. And that might be an option for some people. And then another thing would be a money protection plan. So what that means is doing everything possible to not get money in the hands of the problem gambler. So direct deposits, third-party notification, just having money set aside, kind of no-touch money, you know, like put it in an IRA or something that would make it difficult to get out. And then if there's ever any inheritances, instead of just giving a problem gambler money outright, you know, give it to them in a spendthrift clause so that maybe they get, you know, X dollars a month instead of giving them a whole wad of cash all at once. So those are steps for financial planning for recovery. But for many people, they'll need other professionals to deal with some of the psychological aspects of their problem as well.
Great. Well, thank you so much for this.
You're welcome.
Thank you for listening today. You can find this recording and archived episodes of the Money Talk podcast, as well as an upcoming calendar of professional development events, blog posts targeted at military service providers, and more on our website at militaryfamilieslearningnetwork.org.